Well, sometimes I go out by myself and I look across the water and I think of all the things what you're doing, and in my head I paint a picture. Well, since I come home, well, my body's been a mess and I miss your tender hip and the way you like the dragons. Won't you come on over? Stop making a fool out of me. Oh, why don't you come on over, Valerie?
Oh, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. How's it going, everyone out there? My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Yes, and you're in fact listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show. How's it going, Carolyn?
It's going smooth.
We're back. Our tour is ended. Our tour is done.
Yeah, we're
it is finally.
I've
started the show with my patented laugh as usual, and that's how you like to do it. But yeah, we did it. GV Expo, the Final Cut User Groups. That was our last tour stop of the year, apparently, unless anything else pops up. But that's it.
I think I'm gonna make an executive decision and just say we are done with our tour for this year.
We're done! We did it! We did it!
We're done.
That was pretty fun,
so,
right?
Yeah. Like, I was gonna count and have, like, a recap. I want to post a blog for the end of the year and have, like, just a recap of everything that we did.
Yeah.
Because I did one, like, that last year. I thought that was pretty interesting.
It was pretty interesting.
I mean, we've done, like, probably, I don't know, I'm not counting, but maybe, like, 16 tour dates this year.
Yeah.
So pretty crazy. And also keep into consideration that some of those tour dates were like multiple days too, you know, like New York Comic Con was 4 days this year, and then there's like a couple of conventions that were like 2 or 3 days.
Yeah,
so I mean, if you really cut it down, like, I haven't done the math, but pretty much I would say that out of the whole year, probably 3 months, maybe 4 months of our weekends were done touring. Maybe 3 months.
That's a lot.
Yeah. If you think about it,
that's
like,
the biggest tour yet, I feel like.
Because, I mean, like, I work a full-time job. Joe works, too. So it's like,
you think it's, oh, yeah, by the way,
your schedule is a little more random than mine. But yeah. I'm just saying, like, we both work. And to take away, like, three months worth of weekends, I mean, that's one-fourth of our free time.
Yeah. But it's been a lot of fun.
But I'm just saying, in addition, we also use our free time to, you know, do the radio show, which we love here, and other stuff like my Curls webcomic and other, you know, other stuff that we make. So, but then if you think about it, going on tour, like, going on tour is great. I'm not downing it, but it does take away time from our creative time.
That's true.
You can't really do work when you're driving.
You tried it before, too. You tried working, saying, like, okay, I think I'm going to try to get some drawings done at this show.
Yeah.
And never quite works out the way you dreamed it to be.
Yeah, because there was like, one show that was, like, on a Friday. And, of course, people are working on a Friday. You know what I mean? Like, so there wasn't that many things. There wasn't that many attendance until the weekend. But on that Friday, I was like, I'm going to try to get some work done. Even that, I still can't just sit there, you know, because you're not in your comfort zone. You're not in your mindset, because you're there to, like, talk to people at the table. It's kind of hard to actually do work and talk to people.
So let's get right into it for everyone who tuned in. So we did our talk at the GV Expo about basically about fun and getting down to that. And you guys at the, we'll place the audio of that at the end of this show, so you guys can have a sample of it.
We can cut down the audio and maybe focus on our the main bulk of the presentation.
Yeah. Because a lot of it was
a lot of visuals.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the things I really wanted to do too, was to also have something that was exclusive just for that audience that they can look at. So, like, that was my goal, was I was going to show a lot of my photo work that, like, I can't really see.
You premiered an actual music video.
Yeah, and I premiered a music video.
You weren't supposed to.
Yeah, that wasn't released. That's not released yet.
Are you allowed to even say
them.
What that was?
Sure.
Because, like, I don't know if you actually said that at the GV Expo, what it was. You just said this is a music video.
This is a music video. We'll keep it at that. But,
okay.
Like, we definitely premiered stuff that like it would have been fun just to show off their that exclusive stuff, because I felt like that's the crowd was packed. There was a lot of people there, a lot of geniuses, a lot of smart people.
Smart people that know a lot about computers and high tech stuff.
And it was definitely, I think, like to have something exclusive for them to, even if they didn't know it's exclusive. But now that, you know, I think we announced that like, oh, you're not gonna, you can't see this stuff online yet. So they get the, they get that premiere, they get that special Comic-Con thing.
We did do like basically like a custom presentation for them.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's something that we can't recreate, but we will play some audio at the end of this show from our talk at the GV Expo.
And I haven't even listened to that yet, so we'll see how that plays off. I have a, like going into the show, I felt like we had a solid like preparation. We actually like we went over the show on air, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But also like it evolved from what it was on air. Like I felt like when we had what we had on air was sort of you know, that was like the breakthrough. That's when we broke the story, so to speak, of how it's gonna come out. And then on the course of the day, we were breaking down even more of like how we're gonna talk about this and stuff like that. But how do you felt like, you know, from top to bottom, how that day went? Because there's a lot to do. There's a lot to do before that too.
Well, we also gave away a prize in the Final Cut Pro users group raffle. And it was a box that had a question mark on it.
Yeah,
like this really
the mystery
cool
box.
Mark.
Yeah.
And I think that, I don't know for sure, so don't hold me down on this, but Curl Studio needs a logo. So I think that the question mark could come into play.
That'd be cool.
Or at least I'll like think about something similar.
I think something maybe in that shape, that the curve of the question mark was always very interesting.
Yeah, I'm also a fan of like basically the copyright symbol.
Yeah.
So we'll figure that out. I mean, it's something, or I might just have like my own handwriting that just says Curl Studio. I've thought about that. I don't know. It's something I have to do along with the Curl Studio website. Needs to be overhauled.
Yeah, so
eventually. But yeah, so
we got, so
GBX,
basically, if you guys are expecting some sort of news, I mean, we don't have any tours coming up, so maybe you guys go out there and do something for yourself and have a good time. You know, don't depend on other people. Don't depend on everyone else to keep you entertained. Be able to entertain yourself and make something creative for yourself, because like, you know, you can't always be at the mercy of the Beatles. You can't put your life in the, you know.
Well, some news that we do have is Indie Comics Magazine.
Ah, that's right.
You can get your local comic store to order it, number 3 and number 4. Number 4 is a special Christmas issue, which we did a Black Magic Tales story in it.
An awesome one. You guys, I swear to you, you go home and, you know, you go try writing a Christmas episode. And one of the things I really wanted to do with the Black Magic Tales was to have a Christmas episode. You know what I mean? And when I started writing this story, the story is called How Roxy and Dean Stole Christmas. It was actually really challenging for me to write, because one, when I wrote it, it was July and now we're in December. How the hell did that happen, guys? That shows you how fast you got to really live your life, man. Sometimes how filling you actually have to live your life. All of a sudden it's freaking Christmas time. When I wrote that, I was like, man, it's so far away. And now here we are, it's Christmas time. And I'm like, oh, I'm so happy I wrote a Christmas episode, because now I have something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I might just give, that could be something that we give people for Christmas. Here, it's a Christmas episode. Enjoy. But it's definitely a story that I felt like reflects on today.
Hey,
but
maybe
it's also
we
fun.
Should give it away for people that are listening to the show.
If they listen, yeah.
Okay, first person who emails info@curls-studio.com that says in the email, Indie Comics Magazine, number 4, you will receive that.
Yeah, it's been a while since we gave away anything on the show. And there you go, guys. I'm going to get into my radio voice, and I'm going to say, if you email...
First person
that email... And we're not going to pull any politics. Could be anyone. Could be you. But if you email us, then we'll give you a copy of that.
Yeah, email info@curls-studio.com.
Now, it's not that difficult to email Curls... What was it?
Info.
It's not that difficult to...
I-N-F-O.
Yeah, it's not that difficult to email info@curls-studio.com. It's funny how, like, a lot of times you go on the internet... Or there's a lot of contests online that people put, and you don't freaking follow the fucking directions, man. That's why you didn't win. It's not that difficult.
So you don't have to do anything special for this. Just email us.
And I'll even promote it to make it easier. I'll even go and I'll put it on the descriptions. Win something from us. Just like how with the GV Expo, you could want something with the freaking
with the
magic box. Not the magic box, but the mystery box we had, which I felt like was, you know, I didn't know what to expect with the mystery box, but I love a mystery. I'm Mr. Mystery. That would be a fucking awesome name to be Mr. Mystery.
Why don't we make that character?
I think we should. Mr. Mystery.
Maybe he can be in the next Black Magic Tales.
That would be awesome. Mr. Mystery. The creation of Mr. Mystery. But yeah, Mystery Box. I felt like it had actually a good, you know, because that was part of our presentation, was to put over what's in that box.
Yeah. And basically, I guess why I'm bringing up also the Indie Comics Magazine number 4 Christmas special is if you want to get hold of it, besides being the first person to email us, if you want to get hold of it, I'd really appreciate if you talk to your local comic book store, because that's the only way that you can get that magazine.
Yeah.
And I think it's a pretty nice thing to have, pretty special. I'm a big fan of Christmas, so whenever you can have an episode featuring that holiday, it's always fun. So and you know, a lot of this stuff is like that we do is grassroots, so we really need like your help to tell people about it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise people aren't going to know.
Exactly. And that's really like, that's how people like us survive. Well, that's really how anyone survives. That's how the whole entire world, grassroots, ground up. Apple started from what? Like people in a basement? No. I have no idea. Carolyn, how did Apple start?
Started by people in their garage, right?
It's something like that.
Wasn't Steve Jobs in his garage?
Tinkering with his toys. And that's what happened.
And I bet everyone thought. Products. I bet everyone thought in the beginning they're just like, yeah, look at him sitting in his garage. What a loser, you know. And then now he's just like, look at me. But well, he's like, you know.
But we're so far. We got 151 episodes of this show, man. Let's give away some stuff. But yeah, like the GV Expo. What'd you think? Because that was, I guess, the first convention that was like that.
Yeah,
It was cool because we were sitting in the what's it called, because I had to get my the safety inspection of my car, and that's where we did like pretty much the majority of the layout and the breakdown of our practice of how we're gonna speak and the breakdown of how we're gonna talk that day.
At the gas station.
At the gas station while waiting for that, I thought that was awesome.
Well,
we were like, are we gonna speak like this? Yeah.
Well, I think that the convention was really interesting. It's called the Government Video Expo. So a lot of the people that we were talking to work for the United States government. They're really smart, and they know all about high-tech stuff. It seemed to me like they know a lot about the tools, like the gear that needed to create stuff. So I haven't seen all their work that they actually do, but a lot of people were really on like a certain track, like, for example, like coloring. Like, they're really good at, like, editing the videos, colors, and stuff like that. Or they're really knowledgeable about, like, certain pieces of gear. But then overall, like, I personally, like, didn't see anything from, like, necessarily the creative side. Like, as far as...
Well, it's all the creative, in a way.
Well, no, it's all creative, but as far as,
like, original content and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I don't know if that was like, the place for it, you know? Like, so I can't really, like... devalue that. I think it's more a place for like going to the tutorials and seeing what type of innovation is available for you to create stuff.
Yeah.
Seeing what the, like, I hate this phrase, but cutting edge. Seeing what's on the cutting edge and seeing what's really current. So I felt like that was the main drive behind that expo.
It was really great for Rodney Mitchell of the DC Final Cut User Group to invite us to be on there. So I thank him.
Yeah, for
I don't
sure.
even know if I thanked him on that day or during the speech, or maybe
we
I did. I don't
when
know.
We were said goodbye to him, we thanked him, and also I sent him a little note on Facebook saying thanks.
That's cool.
So, I mean, I think, and he also did see our blog, and he said that he was like, "Oh, cool, they're promoting us on the blog." So
that's what it's all about, man. That's a lot of people don't promote each other enough when it's deliberate. You know, when it's just like, "Hey, you did a good," you know, I mean, there's just that. I don't know, camaraderie that really comes together.
But thanks, Rodney, for having us there. It was really fun. And I think that a lot of people... I wrote about this in the blog. I think that our presentation was at least a little bit refreshing because everything really was so high-tech.
Yeah.
And
I think, like, we made a...
like, UI, you know, like, user interface, And
we're talking,
like, this
talking
camera
about,
that costs like $80,000.
When they're talking about when they're talking about smoke, when they're talking about the new Alexa camera, when they're talking about like even the nooks and crannies of the new Final Cut Pro X, like color interface and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. When you're breaking all those things down and you have us, it's interesting because it's like we're not talking about tech at all. We're not even like we're selling our I guess we're selling ourselves or putting over ourselves.
But also just putting over creativity, too.
Yeah.
Because one thing that actually, I don't know if I had like a specific favorite part, but one thing that I really thought was innovative that we did was take my 365 sketches from the Sketch Before Sleep project, yeah. And we basically put them in a video that was like, what was it, 1 minute?
It's like 54 seconds long.
So, you know, little bit under a minute. And it was all like to the Rango song.
Yeah.
That's like, what do we do now, Sheriff?
Well...
We ride.
Yeah.
Like, and it just went really fast, like to this Western music. But I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that too.
Yeah. So I mean, I hope like at least we inspired a couple people in the audience that was like, hey, you know, I could do something of myself every day, and that's what I like to promote to other people because. I mean, I know, like, a lot of people really feel miserable in their job. Like, not to like, point fingers, but I just know for a fact, like, a lot of people are unhappy in their job.
Yeah.
And they wish they could do something else. Like, they want to... I always hear people say, oh, I want to make a movie, or I want to draw a comic book, or I want to make greeting cards, or whatever. I don't know, whatever people want to do these days. But,
Like, I want to write, or I want to... They always want to do something.
Yeah, like, I've gotten emails from... Or one email. I got, like, an email from... I mentioned greeting cards, but I got an email from this guy that was like, yeah, my wife really would love to do what you do. How can she do it? And I was like, well, what has she done? And then he's like, I don't know. I'm like, you just have to do it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So, I mean,
I'm not
that's like an example of like a husband, I guess, writing for his wife that she wants to do greeting cards. Well, I don't know. On one hand, I'm like, shouldn't she be writing me? But who knows?
I'm not going to say that I don't know. I like the work that I do, and I never go out of my. I can never say I'm doing the best work ever because who can really say who's doing the best work ever? But
yeah.
You can't. That's really stupid. But
that's
really
stupid. Like rating like Keith Urban number 10 entertainer of the century.
Yeah. But what
and
I'm
he's
thinking,
only number 10.
But at least I'm doing what I like to do, and I think that's really what's more the most important part. And I specifically remember, like, when I first started making films or first started doing film production, there was that nervous time of, like, oh, like now I got to make a film. You know, because it's easier to dream.
Yeah,
but it's hard to walk, too.
A lot of people dream, but they honestly have not even reached the first step.
I understand. It's literally difficult to take that. It's just like working out. Like, the first one is tough, but then... keep on going. And, you know, it comes with the discipline. You gotta have that discipline.
And then you start to, like, get mildly addicted to it.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, oh, I made this. But then, like, once you make, like I've said before, like, once you make 50 comic strips, then you don't want to stop. You want to keep going. Like, you get over, like, hurdles.
And I feel like doing your own work is really all dependent on your mood, too. Because I feel like you could... literally be down in the dumps and that will kill your inspiration to keep going, or you get an ego boost, like you win an award and you're like, oh, I love this award stuff, I want to keep on doing that. So
mm-hmm.
It's really important, I feel, for people to find their own motivation to keep doing what they do.
Yeah, it's,
even if it's living a lie. I mean, I'm all for like live a lie to keep doing what you want to do. Why not?
As long as your lie isn't hurting other people.
Well, sort of like a lie of like, oh, you may like, oh, you believe that you're the best and maybe you're not the best or something like that. But if you believe in yourself, if you believe in a lie that's aimed for positivity, why not? Go for it.
Do you remember, I know you never really met her, but I know that you've heard me talk about her, but Nancy Struby from VCU?
Yeah.
Like, she said something like, you have to believe that what you want, that what in yourself, what you want to do, even though it might not be happening right now, but you have to have that mindset. Like, if you want to be a Hollywood film director, you have to think, like, that you are one.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, stuff like that. Even though, like, it sounds fake, but it's actually not. Because if you were thinking that you weren't, like, do you think Peter Jackson goes around being like, I'm not a film director? You know, like,
yeah.
Of course, I don't think he does. Like, he might have his down-in-the-dump days, but in general, he walks around like, I'm a filmmaker.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he lives it.
You gotta believe it, man.
Yeah. He lives, you gotta believe what you want to be.
And you can only really go as far as you want to go.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing, like, you can say you want to do something, and I hear a lot of people say that, and that's fine, that's, you know, that's your dream, but they don't act upon it. You can't just say, oh, I want to be the next Lady Gaga, and you just sit on your couch eating potato chips.
Yeah,
like, or, you know, or, it's like, always, or whatever.
It's like, always those people, like, on the internet who are like, oh, I can do that, and they just, they're not doing shit.
But, like, okay, I took one improv comedy class. I can tell you, it's actually, like, it looks easy. To, like, you know, when you're watching, like, The Office or you watch Bridesmaids or something.
Yeah.
Like, it looks so, like, easy for them to do that. But I can tell you right now, like, just to get up on stage takes guts just to do it one time. Like, when was the last time you were actually on a stage?
Me?
Because I think, no, I'm not necessarily you, but, like, just ask people, our audience in general. Like, most people in their adult life, I don't think they are on stages. Like, for example, like, when you're in elementary school, you're kind of forced to do it. Oh, present your book report, you know, or, oh, dress up like a pilgrim for our Thanksgiving play. Like, stuff like that. You're, like, pretty much forced to be on stage a lot in elementary school. And then probably in high school, that happened a lot, too, because you had to present reports or, you know, if you're in drama or if you're in the band or something like that, you're up in front of people, right?
Yeah.
But I think, like, or even maybe mildly in college, you have to present some stuff sometimes. But then I think, like, outside of the academic world, like, people are not on stage very often at all.
They're not performers.
Unless you're an educator and you're a teacher and you're speaking to your classroom.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I think, in general, like, most people are not performers and you lose that sense. Because, you know, it's not like I said, it's not like you're in the Thanksgiving play in second grade anymore. Like, I think the average person hasn't been on stage in years. So when you, if you were to, like, let's say all of a sudden take an improv class, like, I mean, you really start to, like, break away at that rock because you're out there in front of people. So I think it's always a good thing to, like, be pushed a little bit. Because otherwise, like, you can't just say, oh, like, look at that. Look at Lady Gaga. I could do that. You know, or look at whoever.
But see, that's
the part. It's not easy.
That's also the part that, like, that sort of upsets me is that, you know, this person surely never wanted to be a Lady Gaga or be like a performer like that, but then they criticize it as if, oh, I can easily do that. You know what I mean? Like, they criticize it as if it's the easiest thing in the world. And I always feel like, well, way to disrespect someone's craft. You know what I mean?
I guess we just shouldn't worry about it.
But see, that's what
those internet people are always going to be around. We need to get used to them.
But see, that's the thing is about the internet or about
the,
like, everything. It's always just like this fire of negativity now. You know, it's just people, it feels like when a person gets an outlet these days, the only thing they can actually do is complain. It's like just because you have an outlet does not mean it should be an outlet for complaining. You know, but that's what the world is. And maybe that's what we do now. Maybe that's what this podcast is.
Us complaining.
Maybe it's just us complaining, ranting about stuff.
I feel
like
we have
that.
Legitimate rants, though. As well, if there was such a thing as
I mean, I feel like for the fact that we're producing a show as opposed to just, like, typing anonymously, you know what I mean?
We're putting our names out there.
Yeah. So,
and our voices out there on the line.
Yeah. And, you know, that's just how it is. But it always makes me wonder, like, you asked me that question. You're like, I remember, was it a couple days ago? You're like, well, what would happen if we didn't have the internet, Joe? And I'll be like, everyone would be happier. Just because they're
no,
so
but
oblivious.
See, I think they wouldn't necessarily. Okay. You know, people are already getting, like, all up in arms about, like, I haven't
they're
even
mad about the Coke.
Well, there's that, which we can talk about later if you remind me. But you know how people are all up in arms about, like, the government taking over the internet and, like, taxing the internet or something?
Yeah.
I didn't read all the documentation about it. But if they were to start doing that, you know that everyone's going to be up in arms with, like, their picket forks and be like, "Oh, let's take them over."
Yeah.
You know, like, they aren't going to be happy about that, right?
Yeah.
So, like, if you were to all of a sudden take away the internet, people would be upset. I don't think they would be happier.
How would you take away the internet?
That's why I said, Joe, what if we didn't have the internet anymore? You know, like,
yeah.
It's like we already got a taste of it. People are so addicted to it. And also, like, a lot of people have websites and they monetize that. They have, like, say they have a t-shirt company or sell knickknacks or whatever. That takes a little, or eBay, that takes away a lot of people's incomes. Like, you know how people sell, like, they have full-time jobs of just selling shit on eBay?
Yeah.
Like, all those people basically lose their income.
Well, if you think about it, like, the way the market is, the way the world market is.
And so much business is revolved around that.
Yeah, like, the whole
You basically can't take away the internet.
Yeah, like, life market right now is so catered the future is in the palm of your hands. The palm of your hands is connected to the internet. You know what I mean? That's just the way things are catered.
Well, even, okay, my mom needed...
It sucks.
I mean, my mom needed cinnamon sticks for this craft project that she's doing for Christmas. And it's like, in the past, she hasn't done the project in 10 years, but she makes like these Santa pins that are actually really cool. And like, so 10 years ago, you could easily get them. I remember those being at like Joanne Fabrics and like Michael's craft stores. You could easily get that. We called, like, first she went to all the stores, because she's not really, like, an internet person. So she went, you know, physically to the stores. They didn't have it. Then we called some of the other stores, because I was like, you don't drive around, you know, like, looking for cinnamon sticks is getting ridiculous, you know? And so then she called, and they didn't have any. I was like, let's go on the internet, because I was like, I'll buy them for you, because, you know, she doesn't understand all the PayPal and all that jazz.
Yeah.
And then, like, I was like, I bet it's on Etsy. Of course it was on Etsy. We found one, but then I looked around, you know, for others to see if I can get a cheaper price. We ended up finding it on Etsy, but I just thought it was really interesting that even Michael's online and Joanne Craft didn't even have it. So it's like, where are people supposed to get cinnamon sticks but the internet? I don't even know where else you could go.
I remember when I was in television.
It's only on the internet.
I remember when I was in television production. I was in 1999 or something like that, and my teacher. I forget his name. His name is Phil.
Phil Hartman?
Yeah, Phil Hartman. No, but we were talking about that because back then.
Phil, like CM Punk?
Yeah. But it was from Digiway Productions. I became a teacher there later on. But, we were talking about the future. First thing that came up was like, the Matrix. The Matrix came out during that time. It was like definitely one of those things where when the internet was first coming out, it was just this. You know, it's like, oh, there's trouble. There's so much trouble on the internet. You know, when you talk to people we don't see, there's that danger element on there. And then we saw the movie and the way the movie was shot. We're like, oh, man, that's the future of movies. It's going to be like that. And of course it's not. But like just those special effects to be able to do stuff, that level of green screen, that pretty much became to that level. But then that brought up like Amazon. He was like, well, for one, he says like film is dead. He's officially dead. And then. He brought up like now online shopping, and then we were talking about that, and he said like, well, basically, like, and we were just discussing, but he's like, if you think of this new idea, that idea is unstoppable. Pretty much, Amazon, people are just gonna buy stuff from a warehouse. Oh, that'll be put like in a field in Tennessee or something like that, and that's basically what it is. Amazon just, that's what it is. All these things have become that, but it's so amazing how I feel like when you fight technology, like you can't really fight technology. Because it's so easy, like it's the answer that people want, you know.
Yeah, you pretty
how
much
do you don't can, stop.
You can't stop the internet now, but it would just be interesting to know, like, I don't know, if the internet never existed, I don't know. It'd just be interesting to know. I guess we'd be still stuck in like the 60s.
You'd have like a health. People would look more healthier. You know what I mean? That many people will be like
people
wearing
be outside.
People be outside. Not a lot of people would be wearing glasses these days. Like this whole new nerd culture will be gone. It won't be gone, but it'll still be as suppressed.
This whole nerd culture is like kind of amazing though, because we did do a show about it. But you know, it's just interesting that MTV has MTV Geek, and then there's like this new other like CNN Geek Out.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
No.
It's like basically CNN has like a Geek Out section. Like within their news, and basically like every mainstream news outlet has the word geek like somehow centered.
But if you think about it, it makes complete, like, to me, if you look at the way that things have traveled.
But in high school, like we aren't even that old, but people used to be like, you're a geek.
Well, even
I'm
when,
sure they still say that in high school.
Or they don't use I hate when people say nerds. Like now, still, they're like,
unless
nerds,
it's
because
candy.
It just doesn't, because now it's like, it doesn't mean anything. It's a trend.
Revenge of the nerds.
But like, it's not what it was, you know? There's a person there I was talking to, and they're like, I love nerds. I was like, what are they, just like a flavor?
Yeah.
Well, I guess they are flavor, but still, like, that's, I don't know, just, it sort of lost its soul after a while when you lose its, sort of density of where it came from. Like
on
when
the
I think
good,
of,
on the good end of things, as far as glasses go, I think that they make really good glasses now. Like the designs and stuff. Like
yeah.
Even though some of them are trendy, they still like look good on people. It's not just like, oh, here's your one option of glasses and you all look like a dork. You know, like back in the day. I really got the feeling like when you look at like people from the 80s that wear glasses, they're all like huge and stuff, in a bad way.
The advance of technology, man. But yeah, no, but it's also funny that even though we have these awesome glasses now, that like still you have like another whole like even hipster culture that are wearing those.
And they don't even need glasses.
Yeah.
Or they don't even have like frame or whatever lenses in the frames.
Yeah. So it's sort of just like that's what things are coming to. Really, like, you know, like the advancement of technology and the I feel like just the acceptance of being able to use technology has grown the culture to make it so much so it's like, well, it used to be a nerd if you're on a computer, but now everyone's on a computer, so now it has to be accepted to be nerdy. To be, you know, to be that stuff. But you know what? It's not, no one's going to accept them, you know, no matter what. It's just a fucking trend for people. These people don't, like, some cheerleader is not out there reading comics, you know? I'm not saying that there's no cheerleader that reads comics, but I'm just bringing that to the fact of, like, in a stereotypical world, it'll fade out. It's still a trend, and a trend is just something, a fad, that's just something that people sample, but they won't exactly live it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But if you think about it, in order to actually make like a hardcore living and make a mark on society that people remember you by, kind of has to be a level of trend.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you have to ride it.
Like,
yeah.
Like Kick-Ass or like Scott Pilgrim or something like that.
If you count those as successes now.
I mean, I personally count them as successes.
Yeah.
Because as long if you, like your book was made into a movie, that is a success. You know, like, I mean, I guess there were steps along the way that, if you think about it, maybe could have been done a little bit better, like, business-wise or marketing-wise. But in general, I do consider both of those as success. But I'm just saying, like, you know, for example, even with our work, it's like, I actually would, the more I think about it, even though everyone, like, knocks mainstream, I feel like that's a goal of ours.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to necessarily be indie forever.
Well, I feel like when people knock mainstream, it's not that the quality went down, or maybe it did sometimes. I don't know, but majority of times, I feel like it's because that small personal moment was taken away when you have to now share it with an audience.
Yeah,
and that's the part that they don't like. And I mean that to me that happens too. It's sort of like there's a time when of course like oh I really liked I don't know I forget what it is but.
But even, like, Scott Pilgrim, like, I don't think that it, like, everyone that likes the books that also saw the movie, they were like, oh, that was pretty genuine. That was, like,
yeah.
That was to the heart of it, you know? Like, so I think that they just lost money because people didn't see the film.
I thought you said the reason why Scott Pilgrim lost money is because people, all these motherfuckers downloaded
it. Yeah, like, all those people that are all big on gaming and all that. They actually download it and they didn't go support the film.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just hacker mentality. But I'm just saying, maybe the way they promoted the film could have been a little bit better. You know? Like, maybe they could have reached out to other audiences instead of just comic book audience. Because we already knew that they would go to see the film.
Yeah.
I feel like they didn't reach out as much as they could have to mainstream audience. To explain what the film was about more. So maybe the marketing could have been a little bit better. But as far as, like, the movie goes, you know, it still stands true to the books from what I know. So I guess what I'm saying is, like, when it comes down to it, I think that they still preserve that moment of, like you said, the intimate moment.
Yeah.
Like, I think that both Scott Pilgrim and Kick-Ass still preserve... It doesn't get to a level where it's like Twilight, where like you have people that like it that are just hangers on.
Yeah.
Because oh, my friends like it.
Like Mania, it didn't reach to Mania.
Yeah. But then it is pretty cool. Like if things do reach to Mania, it is kind of cool to like see it on lunchboxes. And I know I make fun of some of that stuff sometimes if I see like Team Edward like blanket and pillow.
Well, now
or
you get like a Team Edward hair curler at Walmart and stuff.
Yeah, like the other day I saw a Justin Bieber toothbrush that sings to you. I'm no joke. It was at Walmart, and there's two different songs. but in my head I'm like,
it was one song that you can brush to wake up, and one to go to bed.
On the back there was an icon that had morning and then night, and it said like you could do the two different songs. I guess you could really play it whenever you wanted to, but
and you actually,
they were suggesting
you actually just watched Justin Bieber's documentary that the What is it?
I forgot. Never Say Never.
Yeah, Never Say Never. What'd you think about that?
Oh, I missed the beginning part of it, but it was on TV.
Well, I believe the beginning was when he was born.
Well, I missed the part where he was born then. So I don't know when I entered to play, because he was already like pretty big when I, or he was meeting with Usher or something.
Yeah.
When I saw it, but I mean, I know he was born in Canada, and I don't think that he had like a normal upbringing with his family. I think his mom just took care of him because his dad left. So I already knew that part. I don't know if they hit on that in the movie, though.
Yeah.
They probably did, if I had to guess. But anyway, I thought that the movie was pretty interesting. You know, it showed his triumph. It showed some of his struggles, like how he's, you know, he's, what is he, 17 now? Or was he 16 when the movie was going on? But it showed that he had to, like, save his voice.
Yeah.
He couldn't really be, like, a normal teenager and yell all the time. He had to have some sacrifices.
And those are those, where he wants those to are be. Actually, like, to me, like, the losing of your voice, those are like the reality struggles of like being a performer. Like for me, when I was going up there, it's like we have to save your energy because when you go up there, you can't just your voice has to be top notch.
Well,
stuff
it's,
like
it's,
that.
It's one thing if you're like in your late 20s, early 30s, or adult, and you have more understanding of that. But if you're like 16, you want to play basketball or yell with your friends and stuff. You know, I feel like you have less understanding of that.
I think one of the parts that one of the moments I really, that struck me with that movie was, I believe he was like watching, was it like in a Grammy Awards show when someone on stage was talking about like how they, like Michael Jackson, like they lost their childhood or something like that.
Yeah.
And then Justin turned to his manager or his agent. He's like, I don't want that to happen to me. Don't let that happen to me.
Yeah.
I was like, that was a strong point for me, you know, because he like, realizes that too.
I feel like a lot of the younger artists nowadays, like, have learned from people in the past. Like, even with rock, and roll, like, back in the day, you know, there's like, sex, drugs, rock and roll. Everyone was, like, ran rampant, and there's like, all this crazy drug usage, and, like...
But now it's going to be internet or phone addictions.
Yeah.
That are going to take... It's going to have to be hive mind connection that's going to be the new addiction. It's like you can't do anything without announcing it.
Well, but I feel like a lot of the musicians these days are like, you know, relatively clean, hopefully. You know, I feel like they've learned from, you know, Poison or whoever. Like they
learn from Poison, guys. Go home and learn from Poison. Pour some sugar on me.
No,
and
Def Leppard. Leppard. Yeah.
Go there.
But I feel like they, you know, they watched all like the Behind the Musics or whatever. And like, you know, maybe some of the younger bands like dabbled in like drugs and stuff like that. But even like now, like the Chili Peppers, they used to do drugs, but now they're all like clean and like super into yoga and like herbal teas and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the opposite. It's like they're still addicted to stuff, but like they're addicted to healthier stuff. They're really, just like, let's do yoga.
Really what we're trying to say is don't be so jealous of other people's lives. If I have to leave with a message, there's nothing to be jealous of. Live your fucking life.
Yeah, there is.
Do it the way you want to do it.
Speaking of like Bieber, I feel like a lot of the people that really hate Justin Bieber are people that are jealous of him. Like even like there,
everyone's there, jealous of everyone.
No, but see, like there are guys that I know that are like 30 and they're like, I hate Justin Bieber, and that's how they talk about him. Like I've gotten conversations with people like that. They're like, I hate Justin Bieber, and I'm like,
I can do what he does.
I'm like, you're a 30-year-old man. Why do you care about like this 17-year-old boy? You know what I mean? Like I'm like, you really hate him that much? Like it's fine if you don't like his music or stuff. Just be like, hey, Justin Bieber's not my thing. I'm not like a 16-year-old girl. You know, like,
he wouldn't be so. You know? He literally would not be so popular. Like all these things, like Twilight. It's my belief.
The haters are giving them steam.
But what I'm saying is my belief that these people, these entities like Twilight or whatever, True Blood or Justin Bieber or anyone, those things would not be popular.
Vampire Diaries.
those products would not be popular if the audience did not need that now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Some of them are definitely like riding off. Like Vampire Diaries.
No, but what I'm saying is that we're talking about that genre. They're filling a void. It's like just like when Britney Spears came up in that area, they're filling that void that's missing for that niche market. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That mass. That
like
happens
for example,
to be huge.
Like all the like the 16-year-old girls, like they want a boyfriend, right?
What else
like
do
in
they
real,
have?
Like in real life, you ask a 16-year-old girl, "What would you like? I want a boyfriend. I want a date to prom." You know, like that's what they're that's their senior year.
Wish fulfillment, man.
They're like 16, 17 years old, and then or even like you know you start thinking about that when you're like 15 or whatever. And then you look at Justin Bieber, you're like, oh, I like Justin Bieber. He's like harmless, you know, he's cute, he sings. What's not to like? You know what I mean? And it's like...
And he's a genuine performer.
Yeah.
Know?
But I'm just saying like, I just find it interesting though when people like are like, I hate Justin Bieber. And it's like, they're just jealous.
The world is jealous.
And the world is also jealous of, we were going to hit on this, the Coca-Cola cans that were white for polar bears. People did not like that. And then all of a sudden they're like, they have to be red again. And so now they're red. So if you have a Coca-Cola white can that's vintage, and that's worth a lot of money now.
Keep a track of that can. So basically what's going to happen is after you hear this credit music, we're going to go and we're going to show some highlights of our rant, of
our talk
at the GV Expo. And you guys enjoy that. That's,
It's a treasure.
It's a treasure. It's a little special feature that you guys
can
enjoy.
Open up the treasure chest. Joe, you should put some treasure chest sound effect before it, opening.
I don't know what the like some of that sound like that.
Like a door opening that's like with a lock.
So that's the end of our show, guys and gals, this beginning of December. Stay warm out there.
Start thinking about your New Year's resolution.
Think about the future. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn. To the future we go.
To the future we go. Have a good night. Have a good day. Stay positive. Stick around for the show.
And when it comes down to it, it's all about telling story. So I think it's definitely interesting with all your projects to really think about the high tech that goes into that.
But that's not actually, we're not really here to talk about ourselves, are we?
No, we're not.
Because I remember, last year I was here. And of course, I'm not gonna lie, I'm not the most brilliant person when it comes to technology. I don't know everything there is. But I was sort of enamored by a phrase of like the jack of all trades, and the response to that being master of none. And I was like, let's focus on storytelling. But this year it's a little bit different though. This year I feel like we can bring a little something more fun.
Yeah, exactly. I think that people need to really concentrate on adding fun to their projects. As I showed you, I've worked with a lot of government clients, and this is the GV Expo, and let's be honest, sometimes government contracts and government projects aren't always that fun.
Because there are those moments where you feel like I could be doing more.
Like, you know that you're a creative person. Like, everyone in this room has something to offer, and like, if we put our minds together, we could really, like, I think that we could create something awesome. But they
never really get that chance, though. You know?
Sometimes you don't, and sometimes you do. But in general, there might be projects where you might not get full control, and obviously the world doesn't revolve around you, and you can work in a group scenario, so other things may change. But I think what's important is to find at least one thing in your project that you can find that's fun. And sometimes the projects I work on, and I actually like my job, I just want to verify, it's probably like the best job I've ever had. But sometimes there's a point where it's like, okay, nothing is going on here. Well, what I try to do is just really be positive and say, hey, there's one thing here. I can pick out one thing. I really like this color purple. And I pray that no one changes the color. But stuff like that, just try to think of at least one thing that can keep you going in the project just to get it over with. And then on top of that, I really think it's important just to do fun stuff on your own. Even if it's just something small every day. What do you think, Joe?
I mean, that's actually like a really great concept because let me tell you guys a quick story. I went to community college down in Nova. I went to each one of the campuses. And I really had no college plans. Like, I wasn't really like, I was like, oh, you should go do something, you know what I mean? I did not take the SAT, so I really had no plans to go out and do anything. But I had one English class, I believe it was English. And the one great thing about when you go to community college, and I'm a big fan of the TV show Community, and this represents it so great, is that you have these great age ranges. Like, here I am, I'm like 18, going into community college, and I run into a guy, and he's 26, and we're both doing
this. He's like Chevy Chase's age.
Yeah, or
back then.
Yeah, like that. But so there's a huge age range there, and I asked him. He's sitting next to me, and I asked him, like, why are you in the same class as me? And he turned to me. He had sort of broken English, but it's okay. And he was like, you can't let this happen, man. Like, all of a sudden, he said, I was 26. Basically, he turned to me and says, I don't know, man, I turned 26, and this here I am, you know? And that made me really think. I was like, I don't want that to happen to me, you know what I mean? I don't want to all of a sudden have all these years just pass by. And then you realize, like, all of a sudden, I'm 26, what did I do with my life? So I felt like at that moment in my life, I was like, I'm gonna do as much as I can, learn as much as I can at that time. It's weird, so that was the turning point. I was like, maybe at that point, I was like, maybe I should have taken those SATs, man. Maybe I should have had that. But it was at that moment, I was like, I'm gonna get a focus, I'm gonna do as much as I can, when I can, and I'm gonna go get college. I'm gonna go get college. And to me, when I think back and now, some people are saying like, I have this great project that I wanna do, let's go do this project. And 3 months later, I asked them, so how's the project going? He's like, I can't do it. You know, you don't wanna be that person that keeps on saying I'm gonna do something, I'm not gonna do something. So what I sort of developed in my head is you've gotta, no matter what it is, even if you're working a job where, you know, I don't know, you could be doing anything, but if it's something that you don't want to do, if you're doing that, find at least 15 minutes or 30 minutes a day. If you're an artist, sketch a dog, sketch broccoli.
Or if you're a writer, write something.
Yeah.
Anything that you find inspiring to yourself, if you're not getting it from your everyday workplace, first of all, try to interject it in your everyday workplace, because it's always good to have a job and it's always good to have that security. So find a way to somehow interject that into your life. And I could give you tips maybe after the show, but it's gonna matter based on your own personal preference, what makes you happy. Ask yourself, what makes me happy? And then interject that into your work at work. And if you can't do that, like, I would pretty much like die if I couldn't do my own work. So that's why I still do it outside of work. If I don't have the opportunity to do it during work, then I'll do it outside of work. But basically, I think what's important is that you make yourself happy. And it all turns around to that.
If we're here, because I pitched to Rodney, I was like, all right, we're gonna go out here, we're gonna talk about fun. We're gonna just talk about fun. But when I thought about that subject, I was like, we can't really just go out there and talk about fun and like going to clubs and doing like that. The true thing you gotta think about is what exactly is fun? And fun is different for everybody. But at the end of the day, fun is doing something that you guys want to do. You know, you gotta go out there and you gotta sort of make that sacrifice. Sometimes it's tough. You gotta lose. Carolyn does not sleep. She literally has to go to her job, then she works on the comic strip, and then she goes out and does talks, and she does all this. I completely like say she's one of the greatest people ever. And
thanks.
You gotta make sort of that sacrifice to have fun, real honest fun at the same time.
But even if you're not sleeping, people will know that what you're doing is fun because it shows through in your work. Like, you've all seen like a really great commercial or something fun that happened on TV or just in general. Or even you might be checking out at the grocery store and one particular cashier is like super fun compared to everyone else that's mundane and just scanning your groceries. Like, in general, you can know when somebody's having fun. So when you're having fun, it's gonna show. And that's gonna show in all of your projects, in personal or your day job or your night job.
That's what I mean. Rodney does a lot. He sacrifices a lot for the show. And he's freaking has a smile, he's having fun. That's why the show is awesome. That's why I think all the best.
It's gonna be hard work no matter what you do. So you might as well make it fun.
Yeah. And speaking of sleep, Carolyn, since you don't, there must be a main reason why you don't get sleep, right?
No. Hit it.
All right. So for a whole entire year, what did you do?
For a whole entire year, I did a sketch every night, just for myself. So I have 365 sketches to show you. It's a project called Sketch Before Sleep.
So,
AKA Crazy Person.
So, a whole entire years of work crammed into 1 minute. So you guys might have a seizure, or you might really enjoy it. But either way, it's like, imagine that. It's like, oh man, I worked a whole entire year, and this is 1 minute. So I hope you guys enjoy this. It's gonna be fun.
We do now, Sheriff. Now, we ride.